The creation of woman is what will provide the corrective that the Lord will give thousands of years later to a very distorted way of looking at woman. When Moses tells us the story of the creation of Adam and Eve, and he mentions that Eve was pulled out of the rib, it was taken from the rib of Adam's side. Some of the fathers of the church, when they comment on that, say that it wasn't a head bone, as if the woman would be over the man, and it wasn't a foot bone, as if she would be under, but it comes from the side, which in a certain way denotes equality. Now, in the modern day, we think equal means the same, which of course is a terrible reduction of what happened at creation. We know, it wasn't in this part of the creation story, but we know that the Lord says, in his own image he made them, male and female. So it's man and woman that are in the image and likeness of God. So when we fast forward these thousands of years later to the Lord, he uses this to correct a way of looking at women, that they're property. After sin, that had generally been the way that women were looked at. In the Jewish way, it was a little better than anybody else, but nonetheless, there was no idea that women and men were equal. And so when the Lord comes to this teaching that so many people struggle with, when he tells them that there'll be no more divorce, Moses allowed it because of the hardness of your hearts, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. He's not just taking away something or making something that you're not supposed to do, but this is also in the context of him changing marriage. Marriage is a natural institution from the beginning of time. Every place around the globe, regardless of what faith they have or none, know that marriage is a reality. But in the Catholic Church, marriage is a sacrament. And that changes it. It takes this natural reality and it raises it to the level of the supernatural. And so this outward sign instituted by Christ that gives grace is applicable to the marital union. And if you think about the sacramental system, it makes perfect sense. Because the sacraments, God's grace is there to guide us from the very beginning of our life at baptism. And then as we grow through confirmation, and then daily or weekly, the Most Holy Eucharist to feed us, confession to heal us. And then you have the two sacraments of service in a certain way. The sacrament of holy orders to provide those sacraments, with the exception of one, and the sacrament of marriage. And then, of course, at the end of life, the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And so God has made it that the sacraments are with us from the beginning until the end. And when you think about the sacrament of marriage, what a beautiful gift it is that he has decided that when a husband and wife exchange their vows and then live them, he's going to be at the heart of that marriage, pouring out his blessings into that marriage. And it doesn't make it easy. One of the evils of our time, it's been around for about 60 years now, is no-fault divorce. You could go to work tomorrow and come home and have divorce papers and never have any idea it's coming. Divorce is not a good in society. If we look at statistics, you know, in the 50s, that's when divorce started to be somewhat common in our country. And there was a little mantra that came up, though the children, they're resilient, it'll be okay. But look at our country today. It's not okay. Divorce is not a good in this society. And granted, there are some extreme cases where people have to get out of a marriage or at least separate. But to divorce is not good. And it's not good for the children, and it's not good for society. And so when the Lord says, It was not like that in the beginning, and it will not be like that in my church. He's giving us the help that needs to be given so that that can happen. And I always think that it takes a proper perspective on different problems that come up in marriage. Marriage can be very daunting. I'm saying that as somebody who's not been married. However, I've worked with married couples and for the last 23 years, and of course, I grew up in a family like anybody else, and marriage is not easy. But that's why we need God's grace. We don't want to turn away from it, we want to turn to it. I remember doing a funeral for a man in Parsons, and his wife was visiting with me, and she said she had a niece come up to her. They were married for 65 years before he died. And her great niece, it was her great niece, and she came to tell her and said, "Aunt Mary Jo, I have to tell you, I'm getting divorced." And Mary Jo said, "Didn't I just go to your wedding?" And she said, "Well, that was 5 years ago." And she said, "We had problems that lasted longer than your marriage." And it was a beautiful testament. You know, I mean, it was probably hyperbole. I hope they didn't have 5 straight years of problems, but it was a testament to their commitment to each other with the grace of Jesus Christ. When he dies on the cross, he does not mean that you and I will not suffer. We all know that by experience. But he does take that suffering and redeem it, including the suffering that happens in marriage. And so one of the places in the gospel, not in today's gospel, but I think a gospel passage that helps us to remember how you should live marriage if you're married. It's something that applies to all of us in a certain way, because the Lord didn't say this is only for married couples, but he said, "I want you to love your neighbor as yourself." Husbands and wives, how often do you think of that passage when you're about to say something to your spouse? To love your neighbor, who could be closer to you in that house than your wife or your husband? And that's how God wants you to treat each other. And for some reason, I think it's because of sin, we have this inability almost to treat the people we're closest to the way we want to be treated. Sometimes we treat our family members in a way we would never treat anybody else. But neighbor starts at home and then goes out from the home to other people. And the other thing I think is good to think about in marriage is from John's gospel. The second chapter of John's gospel is the wedding feast at Cana. And two things are made abundantly clear at the wedding feast at Cana. The first is how much the Blessed Virgin loves married people. She was so attentive to notice what was missing, what was going to be missing, and her powerful intercession on behalf of that couple. And the second is that her son also loves marriage. He loved it so much he made it a sacrament. He loved it so much he did his first miracle there. And so when things get hard, it's good to think about truth. Think about the truth of God's love for you individually, for you as a couple, and that God has given you a special grace that grows throughout your marriage. And finally, because there are difficulties in marriage, never get far from the confessional. The more often that you go individually to receive the sacrament of confession, it helps to soften your own heart. Because when I examine my life and realize that I am a sinner, and the ways that I am a sinner, not just sort of this nebulous idea, but I am a sinner because I did this, and I did this, or I didn't do this, and then I go to confession, and it should happen that I remember when I go home, I'm a sinner in need of God's mercy, and I also need to share that mercy with the people closest to me. And in that way, the Lord has made it so the graces that are given to the couple in marriage are enriched through Holy Communion and through frequent confession. And they help you to do exactly what marriage is supposed to do, mirror the love of God, and transform society. John Paul II said, as the family goes, so goes the world. And think about that. He's given a grace to, not John Paul, the Lord, to transform your home so that his grace, which transforms you, transforms society. And then, of course, prepares us for what marriage images, that powerful love of God, which we seek in heaven. And so marriage ultimately has to, married people have to keep their eyes on the Lord, remembering that their love is to be transformed, first transformative to them, and then transformative into the kingdom. And all of that's possible because of the grace of Jesus Christ.